Welcome to Launch Your Practice, the show that helps therapists build a thriving private practice. I'm your host, Megan Hamilton, and each week I'll be sharing insights and strategies to help you grow your business and achieve financial success. Running a business is not something that we're taught in school, so I've created this podcast to help you learn and avoid some of the sidesteps and mistakes I have made to help you build a profitable private practice. So if you're ready to transform your business, join me on this journey to building a profitable private practice. Now let's get started with today's episode. Hi, friends. It's Megan here at Launch Your Practice. I am here with my colleague, Amy Kobelt, today with Haven Wellness Collective. Welcome, Amy.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, gosh. I'm so excited to share your amazing story. I appreciate you being here. Let's start off by you sharing a little bit about yourself, your background, practice, and a bit about your wellness collective.
For sure. Yeah, so I'm Amy. I am a registered clinical counselor based in Vancouver, BC, and I own a group practice called Haven Wellness Collective. And I'm also a current digital nomad. So I'm really excited to share that part about my journey, combining being a counselor and also a traveler and both of those passions together.
So just to clarify this for the audience, I don't mean that all of us live under a rock or don't know what that means. But you are practicing as and hosting your group practice, guiding your team through based in Vancouver, but you are somewhere else. Is that and working somewhere else? Is that right?
Yes. So right now I'm in Medellin, Colombia, and I've been working here for a couple months and just seeing clients online, managing my practice virtually. And yeah, so even though Vancouver is my home base, my practice is based there. We have a physical office there. I am in Colombia right now.
That's so cool. That is so cool. You know, in hearing about your story and learning about you and your travels and journey, I of course reached out to you. I had to get this story to the listeners because it's so inspirational. And I think, you know, we can get in these dips or slumps or, you know, burnt out, frankly, crispy. Yes. I sometimes refer to it, right? We're going to the same office, the same place, the same room with the same clients. And our clients are not responsible for our overall satisfaction. But what I do want to say is like, wow, like what a breath of fresh air, like what an amazing shift to a sometimes really mundane, like existence. So how did you decide to do this?
Yeah, great question. I love talking about this. I think for the reasons that you've just said, I think a lot of people think about becoming a therapist and it essentially looking one of two ways, working kind of agency job or, you know, working in private practice, whether that's having your own or working for a group practice. And so, yeah, my journey, I essentially graduated and became registered as a counselor right before COVID hit. And so very quickly, I had to shift things to online. I was working for another private practice at that time. And I just remember thinking, oh my goodness, this is horrible. None of my clients wanted to see me online. Everyone's like, I'll just see you in 2 weeks in person, when we all thought that it was only going to last for that long.
Right.
Obviously, it lasted a lot longer. And you know what? The good thing that came out of it is I think online therapy, it's become huge and so normalized. And so it essentially allows me to be where I am today. But yeah, over the last couple of years, I, you know, shifted into having my own private practice as a solo practitioner. And then just almost a year ago was when I, you know, invited someone onto my team, and we've grown since then, which has been really exciting. But I think it's just very, very backwards what I'm doing, like starting a group practice and then being like, actually, I'm going to leave the country. How does that work? And how do we all feel about that here? But essentially, I've always loved to travel. And I really wondered, like, how can I possibly travel for these long periods of time while I'm also a counselor? And I want to maintain these relationships with my clients. And yeah, just online therapy is essentially the answer to that, which is really cool.
I just love that you you know, wanted to do something different, and then you just did it. Like mm-hmm. you were like, you know, whether it's backwards or frontwards or, you know, like mm-hmm. one way to do it. I think we just fall into these loops of like, well, that's mm-hmm. the way it's done. And one day yes. I get to do that thing that I've been always wanting to do. And what I respect about you so much and appreciate is like, you've just kind of figured it out as you've gone along mm-hmm. and not kind of waited mm-hmm. for that right time.
Yeah.
And that's what's so remarkable about your story.
Thanks. Yeah. I think like there's just this idea, especially around traveling, like, oh, when I'm retired or when the kids are old enough or when this happens, then I'll go on this dream vacation or then I'll do this thing. But I love traveling. I love being in other countries and learning about different cultures. And I think just really being there for long periods of time is so different than a vacation. And that's what I really craved. And yeah, so I just had to figure out how can I do this? And honestly, it was a bit scary because I hadn't seen anyone ever do this before. I didn't know it was possible to manage a group practice that was a baby while I was in South America. But, you know, so far, so good.
It's been a remarkable story and journey. And it was just so important for me for you to share your experience because like we talked about, like, I think we need to challenge the norms of some of those things. And I think it's vital to follow our passions and dreams and work as a therapist at the same time. I think we can hold those together versus like sacrificing our health and wellness to like put in the time in air quotes, right? To do the thing that's so meaningful for us.
So true.
And such a risk.
So important.
Really important. And I think you're right. Like there is risk involved and it probably was really scary. Can you speak to some of like the hangups that presented or like some of the questions you had and how you kind of worked through those to still kind of press on?
Yeah, for sure. I think definitely there's kind of like two areas. One, I would say is me as a therapist and how that would impact my clients. I was honestly really nervous and also sad knowing that I was going to tell a lot of my clients, some that I've worked with for a really long time, and that they wouldn't want to do online therapy or the hours that I could offer because I'm in a different time zone. I couldn't do later appointments. They weren't going to work for them. And so that was something that I was really nervous about, but also really held. Yeah, like I grieved when I had to close with clients because of that, because I felt like, oh, you know, our work isn't done and I want to keep working with you. And they wanted to keep working with me. And at the same time, like I had to think about, well, for me as a person, this is something that's really important for me. I want to grow. This is my, you know, passion. I want to try something new. I want to stretch myself. And so I knew that I had to do it, but that was really, you know, sad. And I think the other piece of that is just, I had to really be confident that I could still get clients who only were okay with seeing me online. So I was a little bit nervous about that, but it's been okay and still have lots of clients coming in the door, even though I'm virtual, which is really amazing. I think back to when the pandemic started and I essentially lost so many clients because I was virtual only. So that's just been really cool. But also offering only daytime hours is hard. Mm-hmm. Not everyone can see a therapist during the daytime. And so I know that. I also knew that would change the amount of people who could see me, you know, as a client. But yeah, that's definitely something I had to consider and totally understand when therapists are making that change. It's intimidating because it's our income.
Yeah, it's our income. It's a huge risk. And tell me more about like leaving the infant, the group practice that you're referring to, the baby practice. Like, what were your thoughts about that? Like, I mean, it sounds like things were new but established, like things were running well when you decided to leave British Columbia. So what were some of your thoughts or concerns around that?
Yeah, so essentially I had one counselor working for me, and that was when this idea was being talked about with my husband, and we were really talking about like, oh, should we do this? And we started talking about it more like, yep, we're going to do this. How do we make this work? And at that time I thought, you know, I'm going to have more space in the office that I'm not using. And so, you know, our practice is growing. I know that the other counselor is going to get full. And so essentially I decided to bring, more people onto the team. And so they were, you know, pretty new at the time when I left. And so I just wasn't sure, you know, how that was going to go. Me not being there, I think a lot of times with group practices, it almost feels like you have to be, the owner is like so central to everything, which is actually really what I didn't want. I wanted to be a support, and I wanted to create an environment where, you know, counselors could be part of a practice, but also I don't want to micromanage people. Yeah. And so I think I had to really know, like, can I trust these people even if I'm physically not here for many months? And so that was a little bit scary also to have those conversations and say, hey, this is my plan. Like, is this something you're good with? When I brought people onto the team, that was definitely important to just see, like, does this match for people? Sometimes people want a bit more of like a presence there, or they want more management. And I knew that I wasn't going to be able to provide that. So yeah, I think that was the most intimidating part. And if something happened where I needed to be there physically, it just felt like, oh, I'm going to be so far away, that I was a little bit worried about that.
Yeah, fair. It really sounds like you chose people, though, that were able to function with a good amount of independence. And
yeah,
like, I think whether you knew from day one or into the process that you were actually going to be away, it sounds like your style of leadership really lent itself well to being present, but maybe not always physically. And so that sounds like it was a really good, like, initial step to the plan, whether that was your intention or not from the beginning.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say that it was from the beginning, but once we brought on someone else as a second person, that was in my mind already, and something I even talked about in the interviews, like, hey, this is my plan. Are you good with this? How would you feel in these situations if I'm not there? And so I think that was definitely something to look at. That?
Were they feeling like, oh my gosh, like, how could you, like, what was the initial response to you saying, like, I might take off for 6 months or 9 months? Like, what did they say to you?
I think it was a mix of both. That's amazing. And then also the people on my team were like, yeah, I'm good with that. And so that was such a good feeling for me to know that they think that's amazing and you go live your best life. And also, like, I know that I'll be okay. So that confidence that they had in themselves clinically and just as individuals was such a relief. Mm-hmm. I think I was expecting people to be shocked. I mean, I think they were shocked because I hadn't heard of anyone doing that before, and neither had they. But I think I was expecting a different response, and I was really glad that everyone was really supportive.
I don't know too many group practice owners that would feel comfortable or would even consider something like this. I think I mean, I go away for a couple weeks at a time. Generally, I'm reachable. There's a couple times where I'll be like out of cell range for multiple days. Mm-hmm. And I feel really at peace with that. Like, I like to consider that my team runs very well, just as well, whether I'm there or not. But I think, like, it's a whole different beast, you sharing your situation. Mm-hmm. Like, it's remarkable. And I think it's such an inspirational story.
Thanks. Yeah. I think I just realized, like, you know, as therapists, there's such a potential for us to get burnt out only from doing too much client work, or, you know, not taking care of ourselves while doing that client work. And yeah, of course, running a business, running a group practice, there's always more that you can do. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I didn't want that to be my life. I didn't want to be that person who can only talk about work all day and only thinks about work all day. I really, really am trying to have a work-life balance and definitely not perfect at it, but it's one of my goals. And actually part of the reason I wanted to have a group practice so that I didn't feel like I had to work as many days with as many clients if I didn't want to. So I think really, if I could encourage people, it would to just, you know, take a step back and really see what they need for balance and what can someone else do? Like, does it always have to be me? I think that's always a good question to ask around business stuff.
Yeah, I am the queen of outsourcing. Like, I love that. Mm-hmm. It lights me up. I'm like,
yes, you are.
what is it worth to you? Because if it doesn't bring you joy, like, and you don't yeah. need to do that task, like, please just share that responsibility, because this ownership, group practice leadership, it mm-hmm. can swallow you whole. Like, it can be mm-hmm. so consuming. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. Like, I don't know that we have enough of these conversations. Like, you know, it's this prestigious kind of, we made it. We've mm-hmm. been able to like build our own practice, and now we're building and supporting yeah. other people. And it's like this great, experience. But there's mm-hmm. so much that goes into being a group practice owner and running a group practice. And
so much.
So how have you been able to kind of turn that off, like when you're away, and like how,
yeah,
I mean, your day to day must be so different in Vancouver versus where you are currently. So like how,
so different.
How did that transition go for you to, you did the thing, you did the scary thing, you yeah. managed the risks, you accepted those, mm. once you arrived at where you are, mm. how were you able to like shift gears with some of that?
Yeah, it's definitely a learning curve. My husband is part of the business as well. He's a physiotherapist. And so he does do some work virtually as a physiotherapist, but he also does a lot of our admin and supports our contractors and our team a lot as well. And so it's really nice to be able to delegate and talk about like who does what. And so that's been really helpful. And, you know, we've also just had to talk about what does it look like to turn work off? Because right now we're both working from home and we're living in a foreign country together. We do a lot together. And so sometimes it feels like, you know, just a text here or there that we're getting in or an email. It's so fluidly able to be part of our conversations. And in some ways, I really love that. And then other times we've noticed, okay, this is too out of balance. Yeah. And so we need to actually remind each other, hey, like, we're not going to talk about work tonight. We can do this task tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's been really helpful to just have those boundaries around work. And essentially, we just don't work on the weekends. We've never really wanted to work on the weekends. I worked weekends all the way up until I graduated grad school. And my one thing was, I am never working a weekend again. And so I don't do admin work on the weekends, unless for some reason there's a project that I'm working on that I really want to, but really the day-to-day nitty gritty of the practice that is left for Monday or Tuesday.
That's awesome. I have experienced this too, where we spend time with people and like the topic of work kind of seeps in when we're, you know, yeah. intending to be active or walking by the river, mm. and you know, we're with like-minded people, fellow therapists and colleagues, and mm-hmm. yeah, the topic of work can really sneak in there. So yeah. I can't imagine that in a partnership where you're running
yeah.
together, but away, like, who else can you yeah. to on a day-to-day basis? Is, you know, like, that is hard exactly. to set those boundaries, but so vital. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's definitely something that we were learning back in Vancouver when we were both working on the business. And, you know, we had that talk as well back then, like, ooh, this is becoming too much. We need to really set those boundaries at dinner time or whatever on the weekends. And then just with so much new and transition, I think here it's a little bit more fluid, but it's also different because we're working from home. Whereas before, yeah, I had some sessions from home, but mostly I would just go to the office and he worked outside of the home. So yeah, there's those differences. And I think it's just figuring out, like, when does it feel bad for me? Or like, what is my body telling me about how this is impacting me? Like, I need to take a break, or we need to go do something different and change gears.
Yeah, definitely. What else do you want to share about your experience? I guess I would like to invite you to leave something with our listeners about your journey, you know, whether it's something inspirational or just something to keep in mind. I know I mentioned to you before we started recording, you know, the act of not giving up your daydream of, you know, for you, it was traveling and running a business and figuring out how to do that at the same time. What might you leave our listeners with?
I think that I would just really encourage therapists specifically, but also business owners, that you get to make the business that works for you. And if you haven't seen it done yet, that does not mean that it shouldn't be done or can't be done. It's so exciting to build something that works for you, and it can, and therapy does not have to burn you out. Being a group practice owner does not have to burn you out. Like, it can just be so life-giving and joyful. But really, I would encourage people to pay attention to their limits. If you don't want to work evenings anymore, don't work evenings or weekends. You know, like, really trust that you can actually get the clients that will work for you. Like, I really believe that there are so many people out there who need therapy and not enough therapists. And so, you know, like, when we are working these jobs that don't work for us, or like how we're doing the job isn't working for us, we can change that. And so I think I would just really encourage people that they have that ability within themselves. And if they have a dream, to go for it, and you can figure out how to make it work.
Yeah. Think outside the box on this. It doesn't have to be
totally
what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for your time, Amy. If people have questions about your experience or your different approach to this balance, which is so refreshing and inspirational, how can people find you?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram at amy.cobelt. Love to connect with people there. It's always a joy to talk to other therapists and have that back and forth and interaction there. Or you can find me on my website, havencollective.ca. People are looking for more of a therapy or consultation type vibe. That's where they can find me, or if they want to work with someone else on the team.
Amazing. I will include all those contact information and handles in the show notes. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Launch Your Practice. I hope you found the information valuable and actionable. Remember, building a profitable private practice takes time, effort, and persistence. But with the right mindset and strategies, you can achieve your goals and make a real impact on the lives of your clients. If you have enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform so you don't miss any future episodes. And if you have a moment, I would be so appreciative if you took some time to leave me a review. Your feedback helps me improve and reach more people just like you. If you have any feedback or future topic suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at Launch Your Practice. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks again for tuning in to Launch Your Practice. Until next time, keep building your dream private practice, and remember to take care of yourself along the way.